You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. Well, it was about, I would say, 23 hours ago on this program when Kim Gordon broke in with news of the latest indictments when it comes to the investigation around Speaker Madigan. Since then, more and more Democrats have been peeling off. The question is, will he remain as Speaker when they vote coming up early next year? One of the men who says he should not is his opposition, Republican leader Jim Durkin. He joins us on the Team Hochberg phone line now. Leader, welcome.
Steve, my pleasure. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy. It's not looking like the Speaker's going to hold on, do you think? What do you think?
You know, never count them out, but as of today, there's some 15 or 16 Democrats who've made a statement that they will not support him as leader in January. So there's a lot of time between now and the swearing-in, and I know Madigan has his team out there working hard to change people's minds, but I think it's going to be a tough road for him ahead based on the information that started last summer, but more importantly, what came out yesterday for him to be able to secure the votes to be Speaker.
Well, I was going to start by congratulating you, right? You picked up seats this November,
and you
did that largely because you were running against Mike Madigan.
You know what? I ran to educate people in the state of Illinois about what has happened to our finances and what has happened to this great state, and there's been one constant over the past 30 years when people said that Illinois is just failing, and it's been Mike Madigan. So, you know, I wanted to be that alternative voice, and I am the alternative voice, and it penetrated. It went through to the public that, you know what, it contributed towards the loss of the governor's fair tax, keeping Judge Kilbride from retaining, and also the success in the House of Representatives. And the public should not have to put up with this. We have a higher standard that we have to live by in the House of Representatives. Mike Madigan believes that there's a standard that applies to everyone except him. So that is the statement and the education process that I'm going to continue on with.
Now, the point of my question is, you seem to be doing better off with him there than if he's gone. I mean, maybe you can get more gains with him remaining as Speaker.
Well, you know what? I've had that comment placed to me. I'm more interested in bringing some fiscal sanity to the state of Illinois. Elections are going to be won and lost every 2 years based on what you can accomplish and what you stand for and how hard you work. But I do know that there is a crisis, a terrible crisis going on in the House of Representatives, and that is with the leadership of Mike Madigan. The state is even at a greater tipping point when it comes to its finances and all the other things that we have responsibilities toward in the state of Illinois. Mike Madigan cannot be trusted with any budget or any spending or doing anything that reforms the way in which we do business or how we reform Illinois, whether it goes to our property tax system, our pensions, the ethics. How about that, ethics? Again, it all stops and all roads lead to Mike Madigan.
The Illinois Policy Institute is going to be with us later, Austin Berg, and he wants to diminish the power of the Speaker. I would imagine you think that's a good idea?
You know, that's not going to do anything. It's about individuals, and it's about the culture that is in Springfield. I can't say, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, the Speaker's position is something that is constitutionally created, as is mine, as a minority leader. So it's really not a question of changing laws about that. It's a question of ensuring that we have good people elected to Springfield who are going to make good decisions from both sides of the aisle,
okay,
and how the future of that chamber is going to operate.
How do you see it playing out then? If he doesn't have the votes, he's not going to stand for election, right?
Presumably. I think that this is going to drag on for a while. He will not go away easily. But I also know that a lot of the Democrats who say things in public, sometimes that they will, you know, they find ways to escape and find a way to walk back their statement. So
arms get twisted,
but I know that at the end of the day, many of them have relied upon him on so many levels that it may be difficult for them to not support him. So there's a lot of game left.
Well, are you playing in the game? I mean, are you leaving this to Democrats, or are you jumping on a horse, or you're staying out?
I'm staying out. This is the Democrats' problem. They want to, you know, this is not my place. My job was to be the, I would say, a voice of reason, but somebody who last summer made a strong but a very tough decision. That is to file a separate investigation in the House of Representatives against Mike, based on Mike Madigan's rules. to have him investigated for his role in the Commonwealth Edison scandal. Yeah. I am not interested in playing with the selection of the speaker. My interest is winning seats, but getting good policy out of the House of Representatives with honest brokers. And I want to emphasize that, honest brokers.
I want to go back to the vote. And if there is, would you free up any of your members to vote for a Democratic member as House Speaker if it comes to that? I mean, I'm just sort of playing it out.
It's speculation, but just last week the House Republicans met, and we made a binding vote to support me as the leader of the caucus, but will present me as the speaker alternative next January. That's not our role, and that's not our interest.
So if there's a Democrat who's, you know, 4 or 5 votes short, you wouldn't free up members to vote for him to oust Madigan?
No. We're Republicans, and we stand for Republicans, and the Democrats got to figure this stuff out on their own.
Yeah, but if he's bad news and you have the power to do that, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, because I am not interested in cutting deals with Democrats at this point. They have not been a very good group of people that have responsibilities towards the state of Illinois. But I'm not going to play in the Democrats' problems that they have within their caucus. That's amongst them. Republicans will support a Republican, and I'm going to leave it at that. But that's my position. Democrats have to make some decisions amongst themselves.
Yeah, and they're never.
And, you know what? They got a month and a half to make to get to that conclusion of whether or not they want to support the speaker, or if they have an alternative, put them forward. But, you know, we're 45 votes. There's
73, 74.
So they only need 60. So I'm going to leave them to their own doings, and I'm just going to concentrate on if they want to work with us on good policy. They've got a willing partner in me.
Well, Leader, you and I have both been around for a while, and I mean... I'm just thinking of Lee Daniels, you know, the last Republican speaker. It was 2 kids ago for me, or a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the night George Herbert Walker Bush was running for president, and Jim Thompson was, you know, chairing his campaign. And we were a mixed state. It wasn't red blue states back then, but you know, this was sort of a state that could go either way.
Right.
I think we're stronger when we have 2 strong parties. Do you see the Republican Party on the rise? Because even though you picked up a few seats in the House, like you said, you just gave the numbers, you're still dominated in the chamber.
No, Steve, let's just be people need to understand what we went through. We were expected to lose 11 seats, and that was a message from my friends, Republicans, on Election Day. And we beat Democrats in a lot of seats. And more importantly, we were outspent 5-1, some $23 million to 4. And we had success in different parts of the state. We defeated the fair tax, and that was a collective effort on Republicans, who also brought in Democrats and independents who said, enough, we're not going to support the tax and spending policy of these Democrats. So I do feel that that the Republican message got through, that there is an alternative voice, one of austerity, one that believes in balanced budgets, one who believes in reforming the state of Illinois, and one that believes that, first and foremost, that we must be held to the highest ethical standards.
I want to ask you about something that just struck me in the first half hour. We talked to Congresswoman Lauren Underwood, and Jim Oberweis is asking for a check, but it looks like she's safe. She's going to win re-election there. I asked her about Madigan, and she said she's never met the man. That just kind of shocked me.
You know what? I'm not surprised by that. Mike Madigan's existence and his reason to stick around is because of the power that he controls under the dome in Springfield. His interests in Washington are fleeting at best. So I'm not surprised by that.
But he's the chairman of the party. You'd think he'd be interested in getting her reelected.
He's chairman. He's interested in keeping the Democrat majority in the House of Representatives in fold and obeyed and compliant.
Jim Durkin is the leader of the House Republicans, the minority leader in the House. And, Leader, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
I said obedient. He's interested in the House as having members who are obedient and those who will. I kind of fumbled there a little
That's
bit.
That's okay. We'll pull the tape and make fun of you for the rest of the show. No problem at all.
I'm used to it. That's all right.
We'll talk again.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take Jim Durkin. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. WGN.